This morning, I'll continue with my series as we talked about that last Sunday. And I said to you last Sunday that we're going to be looking at James for the foreseeable future. We're going to be going through the entire book. We'll take it a little bit of a section by section. You can see, if you're looking in your bulletin, you can see that we're going to be in James chapter 1, verse 2 through 11. And I tried to just intro what we're going to be talking about last Sunday with regard to what this letter is about, what James was, Jesus' brother, was wanting to convey to this church. And we are couching that in this idea of making it real and the it being our faith. If you were at congregational meeting, and if you read that packet, I talked about discipleship, and I asked you last week, when you hear that word, what do you think about? I asked my life group that when we met this past Monday about discipleship and what comes to your mind and what do you think is supposed to happen to you in discipleship. If you are becoming a disciple of Jesus, like Jesus, what should be happening to you? And I asked them each to personally think about that. What's God going to do in your life as you become a disciple? What's going to happen to you? And so James is writing this letter to a community that he's kind of challenging in the same way about what it looks to be a disciple, a follower of Jesus. So the portion I'm going to read for you, I think, is going to be best introed by you actually watching a video that I showed back in November. If you were here for the Persecuted Church Sunday, I showed this video, but I want to show it again for the reason of what James is saying in chapter 2 through 11. I think seeing this is going to help us make sense of what he's saying here. So I'm going to ask Steve to show that video, and then we're going to talk about what that video has to do with what we'll be looking at today.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Kadus, 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 rabbal fad. Zameen asman ke khalik malik. Tera shukr da karte hain is pyare mauka ke liye jo tune hamari zameen mein bakhsh diya. Tera shukr da karte hain khudanda is subah ke liye khudanda. Ke tune hamari zameen mein bakhsha. Ke nayi subah de sake khudanda. Khudanda tera shukr da karte hain bachcho ke liye khudanda.
Today in Pakistan, we Christians are second-class citizens. Though we have committed no crime, we are ostracized and banished to the lowest place in society. Often we are forced to leave our villages and our own homes. We cannot get good jobs. And we have no voice in government. What is left for us? Is servitude. Sewage work. And we know we will never advance.
Yeah.
But we have a church. A place where Christians come together to worship the Lord Jesus Christ, to sing His praise, to study His Word. For while our country has turned its back on us, God has not. Sometimes it is not easy. The loss, the injustice. So please remember to pray for us. That we will continue to live together in fellowship. That we will continue to see the joy of the Lord in our lives. And that we will persevere in our faith, no matter the cost. And please remember, we are praying for you.
So you, if you were here then, you saw that video already for the persecuted church and just highlighting what happens throughout the world with our brothers and sisters in Christ. But actually what is going on there is very similar to what is going on in the book of James, and is part of why he is writing to this community that is scattered among the nations. We know from James 1:1, which we read last time, that that's who he's writing to, these believers that are scattered throughout the nations or surrounding areas. They're not in Jerusalem any longer. And from the context of the letter, what we can discern is that that same thing is probably happening to them. And so now imagine that that's what is taking place in your life. Say that that happens in the United States, in which you can only have a certain job. You are basically kept poor simply because you are a Christian. So they don't let you have certain jobs. And it looks like that that's the kind of oppression that this community is experiencing. They are basically poor at the expense of those who are wealthy, just trying to keep them poor. And so that's kind of what is taking place. As I read this beginning portion for you, that's one of the things we got to keep in mind. This group of people is really kind of like this group of people in Pakistan right now. And so if that was you, if tomorrow the government said, if you're a Christian, the only job you can have is some gross job that you wouldn't really want to do. And then they told all of us that. And so what would start going through your mind? How would you deal with that? How would you look at those people that are telling you that? How as a community would we function and survive? How we just got done talking about this mission goes forward. What God has called us to do goes forward because of the generosity of God's people. How would we do that? How would you care for your family? What would that do inside of you? And how do you keep following Jesus in the midst of what that could possibly stir up in us? So James is going to address that. James is really trying to talk to that community that is really experiencing what they experience in Pakistan today. So it's not that far off. I mean, if you were living in Pakistan, you could read this and it'd be talking directly to your situation. But if the Bible's supposed to be something that all people can use, and that's why we translate in every single language, then that's not our experience now. So what can James say to us living here in the 21st century, in the lives that we have regarding discipleship, when we don't experience that same thing? So that's what we're going to try and attempt to do, but I wanted you to see that to help you have some context with which James is addressing the church here. And so we start in James chapter 1, verse 2, and we'll read through verse 11. And he says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. Believers in humble circumstances ought to take pride in their position. Now, he's talking to believers like those Christians in Pakistan, kept in those humble positions at no fault of their own other than being Christians. And so we got to kind of figure out, what does he mean by that for us? Believers in humble circumstances ought to take pride in their high position, but the rich should take pride in their humiliation, since they will pass away like a wildflower. For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant. Its blossoms fall. Its blossom falls and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich will fade away even while they go about their business. And so that's the first portion of what James is talking about in this letter. It's going to be segmented out a little bit in terms of how we're doing this. It's always best, if you're going to read one of the letters in the New Testament, to read the whole thing. Just like when you read a letter, if somebody writes you a letter, you don't read the first paragraph and say, oh, I get exactly what they're talking about. I don't need to read the rest of it. You probably read the whole thing. Well, we're supposed to do that, but for our sake and purposes, we're going to be splitting that out. And so we're going to take that first section and talk about, what does that mean? How do we make it real? How did they make it real? What is James talking about when we're facing these kinds of trials? James is concerned with how this community responds to what they're experiencing. And so when he says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face many trials. Now, that isn't that word, many trials, the way that it's worded in English. You might think anything that comes into your life, any difficulty, any horrible circumstance, we're supposed to consider that pure joy. James is actually being more specific here, and he's really specifically talking about their circumstances. Those trials that they face, which are many, like we can see in Pakistan, they would face many trials every day because of the circumstances that they're in. And those circumstances are not their fault, other than the fact that they believe in Jesus. And so when James says, consider it pure joy when you face those trials, it's not that every horrible thing that happens in your life is God, and James is encouraging us to face it and consider it pure joy. He is talking specifically, though, about these things that come up in our lives. Maybe things that come up in your life that, because you're a Christian, you face some trials. Because of what you believe, because of how you've chosen to live, because of how you've raised your family, because of certain things, throughout our life, things might crop up. Surprise us even because of just being a Christian. I don't know if this group of people was surprised when they went to try and get a job, a good job to provide for their family, and they said, nope, sorry, you can't have that job, you're a Christian. And how they would have responded hearing that for the first time. Imagine sitting there and saying, nope, sorry, you can't get this job, you're a Christian. And what that does inside of you. And James is saying, consider it pure joy. It's probably not what you expect to hear, and that's probably not what our first response would be to a situation like that as a follower of Jesus. When you face some kind of trial in connection to the way you've chosen to live because you want to follow Jesus. So James says, consider it pure joy. That word consider is an important one, because James is telling all of us, not just this group of people, but specifically in this context, he is telling this group of people, but I think this word and the way James says this specifically is important for every single one of us. When we are following Jesus, as we move along in this discipleship process, we should be able to do this. Consider means to look through the trial. So if you remember that in Philippians chapter 2, where it talks about Jesus going to the cross, and he considered it joy to do what he had to do. That's the same word that James is using. The same words being used for Abraham and his faith, and talking about considering it, putting faith in God and actually leaving his homeland and going. That word is used oftentimes when faced with some kind of difficulty or trial in connection to what you believe. And so James is telling every single one of us that we need to try and look through that trial. I would say it is us trying to get some perspective. Like, if something happens in your life, if you're going through something difficult, not just some horrible tragedy that happens, but specifically with what James is talking about, that you are trying to follow Jesus and something happens and it becomes a difficult situation or a trial. James is saying we need to be able to look through that, or we need to be able to get some perspective on that, because God is doing something in the midst of that trial. God is going to do something in your life in the midst of that trial. And because God is going to do that, he says we're supposed to consider it joy, not just be like, oh, this is great, I'm so happy. But you can have joy in your life as you're cleaning up trash. The joy that we're supposed to have when he says, consider it pure joy, is we're supposed to, in the midst of this trial, be able to continue to follow Jesus, that we're not going to walk away from Jesus because of this trial, and we're going to have confidence in God's goodness. Because it'd be easy to question God's goodness when we watch a video like that. That's not James's day. That's 2019. So how can God still be good and look at what his people are doing? Trash and sewage cleanup and just jobs that probably barely provide for their families. James is saying this is what is getting produced in your, as a disciple of Jesus, as a follower of Jesus, this is what God is seeking to produce in your life. That you can look through this trial, get perspective on this trial, and even walk through it maintaining your loyalty to Jesus and your confidence in God's goodness, because God is going to do something in your life. So we face the trial and we face it with joy so that we might endure and persevere. They did use that word perseverance as one of the Pakistani Christians were talking about, that we need to pray for their perseverance, their endurance. Some translations use the word endurance. The NIV translation uses perseverance. Consider it pure joy when you face many trials. Why? Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. This is what God is trying to do in our lives in the midst of the difficulties we face when following Jesus. That he is producing something, this endurance, this perseverance in our lives to help us towards maturity. It's this testing of our faith that gets us further along in our discipleship process. So what does it look like to be a disciple? How do we make this thing real? Well, part of that response would be, instead of being upset about this trial, instead of being down about this trial, instead of questioning God's goodness in the midst of this trial, James says we are to look through that trial, get some perspective on it, and as God enables us, as we'll talk about why we're praying for wisdom, as God enables us to do that, he begins to mature us. As we see in the disciples' lives, we see different trials they face because of what they believe. And as we see them face those trials and come out on the other end of those, we see more mature followers of Jesus. I mean, it's just the way it works. That's just what perseverance and endurance does. It produces maturity. in our own lives, when we see that, when we have difficulties in our life, as we come through those difficulties, we see, hopefully, we've matured. If we haven't, then we're not growing as a disciple either. We shouldn't face those trials the same way we did 5 years ago, 10 years ago. We should face those with a different kind of perspective, because as God does that in our life, He matures us. And that is why it's joy, because God is maturing us to be the people He's called us to be. And so when we face those trials, we face them differently, with a different mindset and outlook and attitude. And it doesn't matter if you're in Pakistan and dealing with what you're dealing with, or in the United States living in Pennsylvania in Schuylkill County. That kind of attitude, mindset, perspective is what followers of Jesus are supposed to have. And so when we make it real, when we make our faith real, we choose to do this. We choose to face these trials in this way. And as we do that, we can see in our lives that God begins to mature us. And James basically says that we're going to need wisdom in order to do that. And so he says, if any of you lacks wisdom, because it's pretty hard to face those trials sometimes, and understand, God, what in the world are you doing in this trial? God, how am I supposed to face this trial with joy? How am I going to be able to get some perspective in the midst of what is happening? And so James answers that question by saying, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. James, Jesus' brother, probably heard Jesus say, ask and it will be given to you, knock and it will be opened. This idea, and Jesus says, if you who are evil know how to give good gifts, then why would your Father in heaven, who is good, not give you good gifts? If you ask God, God will give it to you. And James says this is kind of this prayer time in the midst of whatever trial you're facing. I hope one of your first, if not first, response is to go to God in prayer. It's going to be hard to get perspective about whatever this trial it is if we're not talking with God about it. And James says, if any of you lack wisdom, God, we need this wisdom, this perspective to be able to get through this trial. You should ask, and God will give it to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed in the wind. This wisdom that we're looking for, this specifically what James is talking about here, is the wisdom that helps you live life the way Jesus did, that pursues justice, love, and peace. So we all gather together, and you're in Pakistan, and this is what the government's doing to you. And if we all got together, I don't know how big their church is, we could really get angry about our situation. And unfortunately, in James's day, that was a real response that they had. If you remember, was it Simon the Zealot? Well, I can't remember if that was, he had a Simon the, or Jude, I can't remember. This dude that was the Zealot, he was a part of one of the uprisings. There was constantly uprisings over the Roman rule of all these people. And so it wasn't that far of a stretch for these group of people to uprise against the injustice they were experiencing from these rich, powerful people. And so if we gather those Christians in Pakistan, I mean, they are being oppressed. There was a lot of injustices happening to them. It'd be easy to get pretty angry about it if you wanted to. And James says you should seek wisdom. And specifically, he's talking about the wisdom. And wisdom is not just intellect. We're not talking about just somebody that is a genius. That's not necessarily wisdom. It has a lot of smarts. Or in today's world, that has the ability to retain information or get information anywhere. That's part of the problem. People think they know a lot because they can get tons of information. But that's not what wisdom is. James says this is what wisdom is. It's the kind of life that pursues justice, love, and peace. So while your response could be this, to what is happening to you. James is encouraging you to respond a different way. And as followers of Jesus, we will respond differently. James says wisdom will enable you to persevere and endure trials. This is part of it. If we're asking God for wisdom, because the reality is you are going to face trials, and it's not a horrible thing. We should consider it joy because it produces something in us. And God helps us to grow as disciples. And so in the midst of our trial, whatever it is that you face as a result of the way you live, as a result of following Jesus, in our country where we look out and we see there's a lot of injustices, or maybe we don't agree with a lot of the things that are taking place, we should respond in justice, love, and peace. That would be the wise way in responding, the way that a follower of Jesus responds, the way that Jesus himself responded. Because God says, Jesus says, my kingdom is not of this world. We know that. And so we shouldn't be surprised when this kingdom starts operating differently than Jesus' kingdom. And when it does, you might experience some injustice and oppression. And you're going to have an opportunity to respond to that. And James is saying, how does a follower of Jesus respond? And this is the way that they respond. Trusting that God will work in you, and that in this situation, God is producing something, even if we can't see it. We're asking God for that wisdom that maybe we lack to understand it. And James says, God will give it to you. But we have to believe. That's what that little story is about, the person being tossed in the waves. That person that's doubting. We've got to trust. This is called single-mindedness. James uses the idea of being double-minded in some translations. It uses the word, don't be double-minded. James is saying this. The word believe is talking about trusting and being single-minded in our allegiance to God, in our integrity and trusting God to provide wisdom. We actually believe that God will do it. Again, as a follower of Jesus, every time something happens in our life, our immediate response shouldn't be, oh, now look what God did to me. Well, I've been trying to live for God, and look what's happened to me now. You wouldn't believe how many times people say that stuff to me. Like, I prayed, but why is God making all this bad stuff happen in my life? I've done this, why is God doing this? As we mature as believers, as James is saying here, as we are followers of Jesus, as we grow in our discipleship process, our response should be this way. We should trust and believe that God will provide the wisdom, the endurance that we need to face this trial. And when I come out on the other end of it, I'm going to be more like Jesus than I was before. And I bet you, maybe you know some of these people that have faced difficulty and trial. Not just horrible tragedies in their life. That's not exactly what James is talking about here, but just difficulty and trials because they've chosen to live one way. I guarantee you, if you would go to Pakistan and meet some of these Christians there, you would be extremely blessed to see the kind of life that they live in the midst of what is taking place. And that's what God's trying to produce in every single one of us too. We don't have to go to Pakistan and have to experience that for God to produce it. He can do it right here in the United States of America, in our lives, and produce the same thing he is producing in them. But he's calling us to single-mindedness, to trust. When James says the person who doesn't is unstable, what he's really talking about, not unstable in the way that you think of unstable, maybe, like their mind is unstable or they're kind of crazy or weird or whatever. The unstable that James is talking about is somebody that really just pursues their own desires. They lack wisdom, so you gather together, this oppression is happening, and somebody stands up in the church and says, hey, we should revolt against Pakistan. We should revolt against whoever the oppressor is. We should try and treat this person differently. we should try and get back at them in some way. James is saying that's the person who lacks wisdom. That's the person who is unstable because they're pursuing something that is contrary to the kingdom of God. They're pursuing something that is contrary to what Jesus himself has pursued. And James is calling us not to abandon the way of Jesus in the heat of the battle. It wouldn't be hard. I mean, we're not living that. But when you're in the midst of that trial, when something's happening to you, especially when it's just like, I just believe in Jesus and this is taking place, what is the deal with that? When there's some kind of difficulty because you choose to do life this way, you're trying to be somebody who's honest and has integrity in the way you work, and with your other coworkers or in your own family, with an organization you're a part of, and you're in the heat of this battle, that's when we need to ask God for that wisdom. That's when we need to show that we are a follower of Jesus. And James is saying that unstable person is the one who responds the opposite or contrary to the way that Jesus has called us to respond. And so he's saying, pray for this wisdom. And then he uses the example at the end of that letter, and he kind of references what they're actually experiencing. The fact that people who have wealth are oppressing them. And James reminds them what God says about the poor, what Jesus said about the poor. You saw the quote, blessed are those who are poor, Jesus says. God takes care of the poor, the orphan, the widow. That's all over the place in the Old Testament. James is reminding them that God has not forgotten about you. And that God's justice is the justice we're looking for. I've been reading through the Psalms. My friend and I are reading from Psalm 1 all the way to the very end. Psalm, I think, 150. I think there are 150 of them. And in this section I've been in the last week, it's David really talking about the injustice that he was experiencing and asking God to right those wrongs. And it's like Psalm 8 was that, Psalm 9 was that, Psalm 10 was that, Psalm 11 was that. And I started thinking, you know, that's really what I need to start praying, because I can turn on the news and get pretty upset. I can read a bunch of articles and I can get pretty upset about what I see. And instead of getting so upset about that and letting my blood pressure rise and getting hot under the collar or whatever term you want to use, I need to start asking God, God, I just want to see your justice happen. You are the one who is righteous. You are the one who is going to exact justice. And that's what James is saying here at the end of this letter when he's talking about the wealthy or the rich. He's talking about the people who are willingly and knowfully oppressing them simply because they're Christians. And he's saying, you should not respond in anger and in violence, which was a very real possibility for the group that he's talking to, because that's how they've done it a long time in their history. The Jews have revolted in a lot of different ways in the ancient world. And he's saying that's not how we respond. And we shouldn't respond that way either, in anger. James is saying that God is trying to do something in our lives. This perseverance, this endurance, the trial itself is not the goal. It's what it produces. It produces genuine faith. It's like that refining fire. We've used that kind of analogy before in the church world, that God uses that refinement to produce something pure, to produce some kind of genuine faith. That's why we are to pray for this wisdom, to see some perspective in the midst of this trial, that we can walk through it with joy because we know that God is producing maturity and genuine faith in our lives, and we are going to be better disciples of Jesus because of what he's done, or because of what we're experiencing, or because of what God allows to come in our life in order that he might mature us and help us to be more like Jesus. As a follower of Jesus, as we make it real, we should grow in this. I know what it looks like to always remain immature. I walked with somebody for a long time, trying that they came to faith in Jesus and trying to help them mature. And all I kept seeing, and all I still see today, is immaturity. And it's heartbreaking You feel like a failure at times because you've tried to disciple this person. And unfortunately, I can see the difference of what God does and somebody who faces those trials and starts growing and maturing and somebody who faces it the opposite way. James is encouraging us. If we are going to make it real, then you and I should be able to face trials in a particular way. What James is concerned about here is the same thing that James would say to all of us, is the same thing that God ultimately is concerned about in our lives. Our response to these trials, our response to the oppression that we see, our response to the injustice, how will we respond? In anger, in hate? And maybe some of you aren't Twitter, but that's all that Twitter is that's what happens. You don't go face to face with this person anymore. You can just type it on a computer, on your phone, and you can say some horrible things about people. And you could say that, and you might think it's okay for me to say that, or I'm justified in saying that because of look what they're doing. Look at the injustice. Look at what's happening. James is saying, as a follower of Jesus, we respond differently. If we pray for wisdom, then we are people whose lives pursue justice, but love is attached to that justice, and peace is attached to that justice. And we see Jesus responding that way. And James would have seen Jesus respond that way, as he was a brother and at first did not even accept Jesus as the Messiah. His own brother didn't. But now he's encouraging this community as well to respond differently. And James is saying that to all of us. You face trials. You've already faced trials. You're going to face some more trials. And in a culture in which we live right now that seems to be growing out of step of the kingdom in which we are a part of, we're going to face some more of those trials. And we as the church, as this community of followers of Jesus, need to respond a particular way. And as God brings us through that, he's going to mature us. Making it real is really looking at the trial that you're in the midst of, or the next one that you're going to have because of the way that you decided to live and follow Jesus, and you're going to respond differently. And as a result of that, God is going to mature you and make you more like Jesus, which is, again, this is why we're doing this. That's what this whole thing is about. This whole idea of being the community of God, this idea of being a follower of Jesus, is about trying to be like Jesus. So as the church, let's respond in a way that Jesus would have us respond to what we face and what we see happening around us in our very own country. Let's pray. God, thank you for your word and your word that has the ability to mold and to shape us because of it being enlivened by your Spirit. God, I am praying that your Holy Spirit will have spoken to us today in our own lives and see where maybe we need to face trials differently. Maybe we need to respond in situations differently, Lord. God, I pray that we would have wisdom, that we would be people whose lives pursue justice, love, and peace, Lord. God, I pray that you would help us mature. God, help us in this discipleship process. I pray, Lord, if we lack wisdom, that you would give it to us, Lord. Help us to trust and have confidence in your goodness in the face of trials, even in the heat of battle, Lord. Help us to remain loyal to following Jesus and trust in the goodness of God. God, I'm thankful for your Holy Spirit that we don't have to do this alone, but we are enabled and empowered to do it because your Spirit lives within us. And God, I pray that as we leave here today, that we might, as we are followers of yours, might be a community of people that respond and look at trials a little bit differently. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.